joining us now from SI.com. As he does an excellent job covering the NFL, he is joining us on the Hooters Hotline. Jim Trotter joining us here on The Fan. You can follow him on Twitter at @SI_JimTrotter. And Jim, let's just, you know, before we get into some particulars, you know, teams like to break down the season into quarters. We're a quarter of the way done with this season. What's one thing that has stood out to you maybe more than others from the first four games?
Oh, I think how, number one in my mind, is how Atlanta is playing with new coordinators on both sides of the ball. You know, previously under Mike Smith, they had been sort of a plodding offense, you know, run first, try and control the clock. But under Dirk Cutter, now as the offensive coordinator, they've really opened it up. And I think that Matt Ryan has risen to the challenge, to the occasion, and in my opinion, is the leading candidate right now for league MVP. So to see what they're doing, how they're taking advantage of their weapons, you know, both offensively and defensively, to me has been one of the more intriguing things this early part of the season.
Jim, Gary Shelton here. How you doing?
Hey, Gary, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Why isn't more being made of Drew Brees going for the 48 games in a row?
Boy, you know, I start to wonder if people are a little fatigued by the Saints period. With the bounty case.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, with the fact that now they're 0-4, you know, I'm not certain. It is one of the more incredible records when you think of how long it stood. And for Drew to be such a stand-up, good guy.
Here's the thing that gets me, Jim. Joe Montana didn't do this. Dan Marino didn't do this. Fouts or Elway or Moon even in that run-and-shoot offense. You know, this has stood for so long for most of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just kind of, you know, a page seven, bottom of the page kind of item.
But, Gary, I think part of it, too, is that people have become sort of numb to these numbers now in this fantasy football era where offenses have been wide open. I don't think that people take passing statistics and this kind of statistic as seriously as they might have in the past when it was a running league.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost as if people just expect these sort of things to happen now. So I understand what you're saying, but I think that those might be a couple of reasons why fans don't take this as seriously as they should.
Do you guys, both of you, but Jim, do you think it's to the point where people are surprised that it hasn't been broken yet?
I'm not so sure many people knew about this record.
No. Now, Unitas was the first athlete I ever looked up for, being my age. But, you know, he was magical. And in those days, cornerbacks could just beat on receivers all down the field.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't hold. You couldn't use your hands for an offensive lineman. Yeah, I mean, it was so difficult to do this 47 games in a row. I mean, it's not far from DiMaggio in my mind.
I was about to make that comparison. I would agree with you. But, you know, I think that there's a generation of football fans now who have a very short memory and who obviously don't know much or remember much about Unitas. And, again, therefore, they think that these passing numbers that we've seen in the last 5 years or so are basically things we're supposed to see every year. So I don't think people give it the credit that it's due. I'm glad that, you know, Unitas' son reached out to Drew, and hopefully he'll be at the game. But I think it's an incredible accomplishment for Drew. And if you know Drew Brees personally and you know the work that he puts in, you know, to be successful, you couldn't be happier for the guy.
Okay, Jim, while you and I agree it's a big deal, is it such a big deal that Sean Payton and the rest of the Saints outlaws are suddenly getting a pass to come back?
Well, I think it's big to Drew since he's the one that pushed it.
Right.
And so he wants them to share in the moment if it does come to fruition. But other than that, this is clearly, in my mind, just an attempt by the league to kind of not throw more gasoline on the fire, if you will, and to just let Sean and Mickey and those guys have their moment with Drew. Because if they told these guys they couldn't come, and now you've got Drew Brees and maybe even Unitas' son and these folks coming out at that moment saying, you know, how unfair in their mind it is that these guys who were part of this accomplishment aren't able to share in it, even from a distance. It's just another fight, I think, that right now the league doesn't need because it's got so many fights going on at this moment you know, still has the bounty situation to go through. He's got the concussion lawsuit. He's got the collusion lawsuit. And I just think that they're being smart about this and saying, we just don't need another distraction right now.
Jim Trotter joining us, SI.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at SI underscore Jim Trotter. And we go from a quarterback who's about to break a very impressive record of throwing touchdowns to a quarterback debacle in what's going on in New York with the Jets. I mean, the Jets get shut out by the 49ers last week. They've got the Texans coming up on Monday night. I think there's people already calling for Tebow up there.
I'd say 11:29 of the third quarter.
Yeah, I was going to say, how soon are we going to see Tim Tebow take over at quarterback for the Jets, Jim?
Here's my thing. I can't see Rex doing it until he's ready to commit to it for the rest of the year. Mm, because he knows if he does it and it doesn't work, then what's he going to do? Go back to Mark? Mark's not, in my opinion, emotionally strong enough to deal with that. When you talk to some of his former teammates, they will tell you he's a fragile guy.
That's what you want in your quarterback, huh?
In New York.
Exactly. And this is coming from teammates. This isn't coming from, you know,
us.
The fans, the media. So from my standpoint, I think that's what Rex is doing, is saying I'm going to hold off until the last possible moment. But the interesting thing, too, up in New York last week when the 49ers won that game and talking to some 49er fans who were there, they were the ones who started the chant for Tebow. It wasn't Jets fans who started it. It was San Francisco fans who started calling for Tebow. And by the fourth quarter, and definitely by midway through the fourth quarter, that stadium was largely 49er fans at that point, because Jets fans had already turned and left the stadium.
Boy, that's amazing. Tell me, do you think if Goodell had to do over again, how would he react differently to Bounty Gate?
In my opinion, and I've said this from day one, where he went wrong with this is that he did not have, he did not dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And by that I mean he should have worked with the Players Association on this matter before he went public with it. They should have had the investigation resolved. They should have had the discipline resolved. But what Roger did is he didn't notify the Players Association until 3 hours basically before going public that this had happened and that there was going to be discipline behind it. And so at that point, the Morris Smith and the union felt like they had been painted into a corner, having it sprung on them. And it made them look weak, and it made them look out of touch, like they didn't know what was going on, and all of a sudden we had a fight. So from my standpoint, if I'm Roger Goodell, what I say is, you know, there's got to be a level of cooperation between the NFL and the Players Association, because there are a lot of issues that still have to be resolved, including HGH testing. And so I think that would have been an opportunity for Roger, coming off of the lockout, trying to build a better relationship, to say, let's work together on this, because I can guarantee you that if that had been Paul Tagliabue and Gene Upshaw in this situation, all of those details would have been ironed out before the media ever got wind of it.
That's interesting. Let me throw another direction at you. What do you think of Greg Schiano and the Bucks after a month?
Boy, I think he's been what to some degree what we expected. He was a guy who was going to come in, you know, instill discipline, tough-minded approach, that sort of thing. I don't agree with what he did in the Giants game.
Neither do we.
When a team takes a victory formation, you don't go low with guys and try and create turnovers at that point. So I don't think he won himself any favors there. You know, I know that the Mike Silver article created, you know, much of a stir, but I can tell you this. I heard some of that same stuff from GMs around the league and coaches well before he was even hired or you know, we even knew that he was a candidate for the Tampa Bay job. So the thing about Greg, I believe, is that he's going to do it his way, and he's one of those old school guys who doesn't care what you think or I think. he only knows his way, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's either my way or the highway. You get on board or you're out of town.
My thoughts after covering four games of him is he's got a lot of adjustments to make himself. You know, it's a different league than he's used to. You can't always run on first down just because you have a 10-6 lead. You can't always blitz the quarterback because it's third down. I just think there's some little nuances that he's got to pick up on.
Oh, I would definitely agree with that, but I'll say this to you, too. I know there were some assistant coaches, you know, as you know, that he wanted to try and bring in from the NFL ranks, and he couldn't. So maybe after this year he has that opportunity to bring in those folks. who could help him better understand the NFL game. Because I believe, for instance, if he had been able to bring in John McNulty, who's now with the Cardinals,
right.
You know, John is well respected and knows this game, and I think that he could have helped Greg in a big way.
Joining us from SI.com, we talk NFL with Jim Trotter here on The Fan. You can follow Jim on Twitter, at @SI_JimTrotter. Jim, what's the word on Josh Freeman around the NFL? You know, there's a lot of question marks around about him down here, about this being a make-or-break season for him. And, of course, Greg Schiano wants to run the football a lot more than he's throwing it, open it up a little bit against the Redskins. But what's the word on Freeman around the NFL?
You know, I'm a Freeman fan. I thought he took a step back last year. But when he reported to camp this year in tremendous shape, I thought this was going to be a year that he was going to take that step. But here's the thing again. We talk about perception. And obviously the NFL is perceived, and not perceived, but is, a quarterback's league and a passing league now. So when you're playing for a coach who wants to, in my opinion, be ground-oriented, you know, as a quarterback, you're not going to put up great numbers. And your opportunities are very limited. And when you get one, you know, your margin for error is that much slimmer. So I think Josh Freeman can be one of the elite quarterbacks in this league. I really do. I think if put in the right situation. And right now, you know, it appears to me that Greg, for the most part, is asking him to be somewhat of a game manager, but then to make plays when they need plays. That's a tough spot for a quarterback, because it's like, you know, I remember recently talking to Michael Crabtree about this, playing wide receiver in the 49er offense where they don't throw much. And his thing was, you look at guys who are getting, say, you know, 10, 15 attempts per game, and they've got margin for error in that they can drop a ball and the quarterback's going to come back to them. They're still going to have other opportunities in the game. But in the San Francisco offense, you know, you might get 8 opportunities a game. And so if you're dropping a ball, or you might only get 5, and you drop a ball, they're not going to come back to you, and therefore you don't have as many opportunities. I think some of that's going on with Josh as well.
Yeah, I think some of the things, too, that I wrote about this last week, Jim, was that it looks like a coach and a quarterback who don't quite trust each other yet.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. I think that's true. And I think they, you know, it's possible that they have, beyond winning, don't get me wrong, winning is the number one priority, but beyond winning, there may be different objectives, too. Because, again, a quarterback, you know, in large part is based on wins and losses, but he's also based on numbers in this fantasy football era. And it's funny to me when you watched it last year with say, Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco, and we were all giving them a lot of griefs about the numbers that they weren't putting up and whatnot. And what happens this year? You know, they open up the offenses, and now both of these guys are putting up numbers, and we're saying they're MVP candidates. So it's just funny to me how perception colors the debate.
Okay, you know all you need to know now after 4 weeks, so who's going to win this thing?
You've been talking up the Falcons so far.
Yes.
I do like them in the regular season, but I still say, number one, it's a long year. And you know that we've got to see what your health situation is by the end of the year. A lot could change. With Atlanta as well, my thing is, you know, look, they're all on 3 in the playoffs under Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff, so they've got to get to the playoffs and win a game for me to buy into what they're doing completely. What I'm going to do, and I'm one of these guys, I'll stand behind what I said in the preseason. I'm not going to change it from week to week. And in the preseason, I said it would be a Baltimore-San Francisco Super Bowl, and I'm going to stand behind that.
That's going to be kind of low scoring. We can't write it the half if those two play. It's going to be 6-3.
Oh, you writers.
You'll be able to hit deadline, no question.
Excellent. Hey, Jim, we really appreciate the conversation and hope to have you on again if you got time, maybe later in the season.
Absolutely, guys.
We'd love to. Thank you so much.
See you in a press box somewhere.
Jim Trotter of SI.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @SI_JimTrotter.
You're humming.
I caught what he said about Greg Schiano. You know, we look at that Michael Silver article, and you're like, meh,